members, this is a briefing by the Department of Water and Sanitation on the third quarter financial and non-financial performance of the department for the 2019-20 financial year. So I want to take this opportunity to welcome the department led by the DG Shangani and your team. We are in your hands. You can take us through the report.
Good morning, Chair, honourable members, colleagues and members of the media who are here. Today we are presenting our third quarter results, preliminary results, because they're not audited results. We've structured our presentation into two parts. The first part, maybe before we get into the presentation, I must state that there's going to be a division of work, we'll call it a division of labor, if you like. We have four programs in our APP. There is program one, which is largely about administration, and Squire Mahlangu, who's sitting over there, is going to lead us on program one. He is DDG responsible for administration in the organization. So administration falls under his leadership. Program two, which covers planning and policy and other related work, including information and monitoring, will be done by Matlala. Mr. Matlala delayed at the Welcome Center. The queue is very long there, I'm told. The House of Traditional Leaders is meeting today. But if Mr. Matlala is not here at the time we deal with that item, Baba Alomayagayaka will take care of it, or I will take care of program two, which is about planning. We start with the non-financial performance, and then we'll end up with the financial performance. Program three will be taken care of by Leonardo Manas, who's sitting next to me. He is DDG responsible for infrastructure. All the infrastructure programs in the department falls under him. Your big dams, your RBIC, your WISIC programs, all of those infrastructure projects are managed by him. We will then take care of program four. Program four will be managed, will be delivered, presented by Toko Sigwaza, who is currently acting DDG in the absence of Anil Singh, who is our DDG responsible for regulations in the department. Program four is regulation. Once we're done with the non-financial presentation, we will then ask the CFO to take us through both the financials of the main account and the water trading entity account. That's what the CFO is going to do, and then I'll come back at the end of that presentation. Without wasting much of your time, Chairperson, we're going to ask let's go there. Can you put it on slideshow? There's a slight glitch. Okay, Chair, before we ask that Mashallah to take us through Program 1, which is the performance of the administration targets. Program 1 is about the administration. I want to state upfront that Quarter 3 has been a very
difficult part. It's been very tough because there are quite a number of adjustments that we had to make importantly.
Most of those adjustments were caused by the prevalence of drought in three major provinces: Northern Cape, Free State, and Eastern Cape. And you are aware, Chair, that the drought started in 2017, and we made some allocations for some of the provinces except Free State. I think Northern Cape had an allocation for drought in 2017. Eastern Cape had an allocation for drought in 2017, but the allocation went directly to the municipalities. And some of the municipalities spent the money and others struggled to spend that money. But it's been persistent in the sense that we kept going back to all the areas that were affected. For instance, in the Northern Cape, we're very much aware that the western part of the Northern Cape is hit by drought. If you look at all those towns, Yokamisbek and Namakwa district, the drought is very persistent there. We can show you the map from the Disaster Management Center that Northern Cape, the western part of Northern Cape, is struggling with drought. But we didn't fold our arms. We had to ring fence an amount of about 300 million rands to prioritize drought in the Northern Cape. We're working on it. We have appointed Setibeng Water as an implementing agent to intervene in the Northern Cape. And they've started, they're also working as an implementing agent for the Free State. I'm sure you've seen it in the news that we have a presence in Malutiapo in the Free State. Now, all of these initiatives, like Malutiapo and what we're experiencing in the Northern Cape, were not budgeted for. So we have to make do with the existing budget. There's no additional budget from National Treasury. We did ask for additional budget, but we know that the fiscal is extremely under pressure. In Eastern Cape, we kept going back to Butterworth. We were in Butterworth the whole of December. We didn't go on leave. We were focusing on making sure that the people of Butterworth and the surroundings do have access to clean water. So we have appointed Amatola Water in Eastern Cape to act as an implementing agent in Eastern Cape. We have allocated them an amount of about 280 million. So in total, Chair, you will see when the CFO presents that we have to shift a budget of about 900 million rands to prioritize drought in these three major provinces. Limpopo is also struggling, Sekhukhuneland district, Muwatse in, to be specific. They're struggling with water. We went there, some parts of Polokwane are also struggling with water. We visited them. We've been in constant touch with the mayor of Polokwane to see how we can assist in those areas that are struggling with water shortages. We have a budget that is extremely under pressure, but we have to make do with what we have. We have to find means and ways to prioritize the water supply to communities that are struggling with water shortages. I'm starting here, Chair, just to indicate to you that the challenge of drought is making our life a little bit more difficult. Instead of focusing on our strategic projects, because we have a plan in place to deal with some of our water resource initiatives, we find it very difficult to get going because the drought is a matter of here and now. We have to deal with it now. And there's no additional budget allocation for that. And the little allocation that was allocated in 2017 is not adequate. So that's just my explanation before we start. In quarter three, we achieved 49% of what we targeted. We partially achieved 19%. This is just a summary. We'll get into the specifics of where the areas of non-achievement are. We have not achieved 32% of our targets in various areas. You will notice that those areas are in program three, part of program two, and also part of Program 4. So you will talk about those areas where we didn't achieve our targets. Without wasting much of your time, Chair, I'm now going to ask Mr. Mahlangu to take us through Program 1. Dr. Mahlangu.
Honourable Chairperson, all members, colleagues, the...
Hold on, Mr.
Mahlangu. The difficulty one will have, it is interesting what the DG is saying. It is on the financials, on the figures. And he, after having addressed us on those, now he says we must ignore it, go to non-financial. At the time we go to that point, that essence of the difficulty will have gone.
DG is giving the overview which touches on the program where they are, and even informing us that in the process of them doing their work, they were able to shift resources to address the issue of the drought persisting. But the report, starting with DDG Mahlangu, they are accounting for the third quarter report. What is it that they have done for the first quarter? What DG was doing was overview. So now we are going into the meat. Honorable Person.
Jay, before we start with that, I just want to ask, we need to sit down with the department and COCTA about the drought issue. Please, I know we scheduled a meeting for last week, but we must bring that forward again. We need to discuss that to get clarity on what money's gone there and what contribution comes from COCTA as well.
No, it's scheduled, Honorable Basson. I can just confirm we've met with the chair of COCTA. They will be convening us either this week or next week, one of the two. So it's confirmed. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, DDG Mahlangu.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, colleagues, the administration of the department has done extremely well in terms of the targets that we set in the APP. We've achieved 83% of the targets that we set, and we partially achieved 17% of the targets. The partial achievement is mainly due to the low spending on compensation of employees to vacant posts and the underspending on goods and services on all programs, as well as the outstanding 218-19 financial performance bonuses and paper professionals. And we haven't transferred 32 million to Amatola Water, which is still outstanding, was still outstanding as of end of October 2019. And other than that, the submission of performance agreements was done 100% by everybody. The midterm review was captured on personal as 100% as on SMS. The graduate trainees, we did appoint a number of them, more than 34 graduate trainees, period of 10 that we had said we would do. And the vacancy rate for engineers and scientists, we had 743 posts.
Dr. Makam, I'm struggling to hear you from here. I'm not sure whether it's your mic or
okay.
You don't speak to the mic. Please speak to the mic. I'm struggling to hear what you are saying.
Chair, can you hear me now?
And because we don't have the screen is not moving, it will be important as you take members through the pages where you are, so that they can follow your presentation.
Can you hear me now, Chairperson? Okay. On page 5 of the report, you will see that Program 1 is administration, and it shows that we have achieved 83% of the targets that we said we would achieve in the APP, and we partially achieved 17% of them. And as I said, the partial achievement was mainly through the low spending on compensation of employees, and there were financial management related matters, which the CFO will report about when it comes to his turn to report. Otherwise, all the targets that we said we will meet were met. And that, in short, Chairperson, is the report on Program 1. Gigi, I finished.
Program 2, which is going to be presented by Mr. McCall.
DDG just says we have managed to achieve 83% of the targets, and I didn't get what was the reason not 100%. I think we must go to that area before we pass to another. Why not 100%, and why? What are the challenges, and how you intend to resolve them?
Okay. If you look at slide 9, I think you went briefly to slide 9. If you look at slide 9 explains, it talks about financial management, and that financial management was partially achieved. And the bigger part of that is the filling of all the critical vacant posts. This talks to the compensation of employees. I think that's the explanation that you are giving, that the target that we've been grappling with for some time is the compensation of employees, which is the filling of vacancies. We still have a substantial number of vacancies that have not been filled, and that reflects negatively on the performance of Program 1. I think that's the explanation that you are giving. And that problem is only going to be resolved once those positions are filled, because at this stage, the COE budget is not performing at the level where it's supposed to perform.
Why is not filled, did you?
We've done the advertisement. Most of the adverts have gone out, and we busy with the shortlisting. And the delay was caused by the threats of budget cuts, because we have to adjust the cuts on the COE. It's not only this department that is affected. I think all departments' COE budgets are under pressure. The last thing you want is to fill the post and then worry later about the payment of salaries or the compensation budget. So we're grappling with the COE budget. Human Settlements, I'm sure they will tell you that they also grappling with the COE budget. Other departments as well are grappling with the COE budget because of the big wage bill that Treasury is trying to resolve. So in this case, we think that all the critical positions will still be filled, Chair. We don't want to use this as an excuse. We're likely to fill all the critical positions in finance, the critical positions in Program 3, which is our core business infrastructure, the critical positions in Program 4, which is regulations, water use licenses. So we'll fill those positions they are budgeted for. It's just that there's been a little bit of a delay, because we have to take a 3-year view when we fill positions. It's not just a 1-year issue. Yeah.
Okay. So let's go to another program. Okay.
Honourable Chair, greetings and sorry for coming late. You know, when you asked a follow-up to the DDG saying why the poster not failed, I immediately thought that it's now an engagement period because I wanted to come in there. So you actually opened, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, so I understand that, but I'm saying we mustn't be seen as if we are wrong or we don't understand. It's because you actually asked a question. You opened a chance, you know, yourself as the chairperson. So we wanted also to come in from the same point.
Yes, Honourable Member, I know that I've asked, but I wanted them to explain as they present, to say we've not met 100% target, and they must give the reasons why. And then from there, when we discuss, we know the reasons, and we'll be discussing based on what they've said, why they've not filled the post, why they've... So I wanted them to not to wait for the question why you have not, because it's automatic. If you have not performed up to the level where you expected to perform, then you must give the reasons why you have not done. And members will then interact with the reasons and actually resolve around that. So that's why even other DDGs, as they present, they must actually, if they have not done 100%, they must give us the reasons and why, so that when we're going to discuss, we would know why they have not performed the 100%. Can we go to the second one?
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Matlala and Ms. Fundakubi are going to take care of Program 2. Program 2 starts in slide 10, Water Planning and Information Management. And I'm going to ask Mr. Matlala to go first, and then Ms. Fundakubi will then take care of the other part, which is the non-achievement. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members and colleagues. Of the six sub-programs that are falling under this program, Water Planning Information Management, there are four sub-programs that have performed very well because we got 100%, and then we have only two sub-programs that we did not perform well, which I will unpack in the subsequent slides. I'm on slide number 11, is a sub-program, Water Service and Local Water Management, where we were supposed to draft populated structure for documents for new infrastructure workstation for 17 district municipalities. We did not perform for that activity, and the reason being we had delayed procurement processes due to the fact that we had to adjust the terms of reference, and that took place as we were changing from one model to another. Then the other activity there is a number of MUSA, which is a municipal strategic self-assessment, which we did not complete the 16, we only did the 14, that is a partial achievement. And this is meant for us to understand what is happening in the municipalities as far as their vulnerability is concerned. So we partially achieved on that one. I'm now on slide number 12, still under sub-program, Water Service and Local Water Management. There are two activities there. The first one, number of feasibility studies for water and services projects, regional bulk infrastructure grant completed. We also have delays there. So, and there were delays due to our adjustment of the terms of reference and the model that we had to change of delivering the products. And then number two is the number of implementation readiness studies, IRS, that are also part of the Arabic that we did not also complete. It is partially achieved due to those issues of changing from a model to another to ensure efficiency. The next slide is on policy and strategy, and I'm going to hand over to my colleague to take us forward. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members. The indicator of the approval of the National Water Resource Strategy, we were unable to achieve this indicator as a result of the delays in finalization of the bill. However, subsequent to the directive that we are now embarking on the commencing of the development of the bill, the internal consultation in this regard of the National Water Resource Strategy will be commencing at the end of next month in March and beginning of April. With regard to the bill itself, as I have indicated that there was a delay in the bill and there was a halt in terms of moving with the bill, but we are now as a department moving forward in terms of the development of the bill. Internal consultation have started and bulk of the work has already been done, and we are targeting to complete this the development of the bill by the end of this of the year because the work has already been done. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. On that particular item, the water and sanitation bill, we still think that we have to go back to technical MIMEC because SALGA has a view on that particular matter, and I think again the sixth administration, because the process was started in the fifth administration, we felt that we need further consultation before we can process that particular bill. It was at an advanced stage, Chair, I must be honest, but there are a few consultations that Minister wanted to make, including getting an expert advice from the panel of advisors. So the delay is more caused by internal consultation processes, but we also want to make sure that SALGA is on board because they have a different view about that particular bill. We're now going to move to Program 3, Chair, and Program 3 will be presented to us by Leonardo Manas, Acting DDG.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Good morning. I will present a portion from slide number 14. I will not carry on slide 14 other than to say that obviously it presents a view of underperformance in certain areas for which I will do accounting in the next slide. In slide 15, under indicator 2.3.1 regarding the number of bulk projects that water projects that should be ready for implementation, this would mean that obtained all the necessary planning work so that we can go to implementation. We've had an actual achievement there of one where the Makolo crocodile water augmentation program, which is supplied to water also from the Hartbeespoort area right through to Lephalale area, that it's now in design phase with our entity TCTA assisting us there. As far as the Olifants River Water Development Program is concerned, that we have challenges with regards to the acquisition of land in that area and the signing of the MOU, due to the fact is that there is certain negotiations that's happening currently with Sekhukhune District Municipality to ensure that we can even take that program further, that project further. Under 2.3.2, the number of bulk raw water projects is under construction. We have targeted 4 to be under construction. At this point in time, we achieved Glen William to be under construction, the raising of Glen William Dam. Hazelmere Dam was obviously paused because of contractual disputes that we had there. Subsequent to the completion of the quota, we have had success in signing a settlement agreement with a contractor that we had a dispute with, and we now have the commitment within the next 30 days for the contractor to move back to site, which means that we expect an achievement in this regard in the fourth quarter. In the Mzimvubu construction of phase one, which is the advanced works to have the access roads in place, our own construction unit have taken site at Mtata Dam, which is in the vicinity of an area, so we need now to move closer so we can commence with the work, and that is on the cards also to happen in quarter four, and we will be able to then report back on that. On the raising of Tsanin Dam, we have also obtained the designs for that dam, and we are in the process now of obtaining the license to construct that would be based on the designs that was attained, and we trust to also take site and to have that site under construction as well within the next month. On slide 16, we indicate 2.3.2. We envisage that, according to the APP, that we should have had two projects completed by quarter three, which should have been the Hudat Road transfer scheme as well as Hazelmere. But as explained in the previous slide with regards to Hazelmere, we can therefore understand as for the reason due to that delay in the contractual dispute that has been settled now, that we could not achieve that target of completion. On the situation of Hudat Road, we also have a contractual dispute there that has led to the point where we actually obtained the assistance of the state attorney to assist us with the dispute resolution process as well. However, noting the fact that we have a commitment also to ensure the completion of this project, we have commenced a parallel process of outsourcing this to another contractor to complete for us due to the urgency of the matter at hand. Explaining all of the above matters, we unfortunately could not in the third quarter create the 50 jobs that has been targeted under 3.4.11. However, we with the taking of sites as explained in the previous slide, we trust that in the fourth quarter the situation will be much better. Under 3.4.1, the number of dam safe rehabilitation programs, these are the dams that have been indicated that we need to do some sort of work on it to ensure that safety is not compromised. We wanted to complete five, we only completed one, which has been Kalkfontein Dam. And in Morgenstern Dam, we had community unrest that has actually delayed the project. In Kadimeng, we had a delay in the delivery of material. Richspreet, the ECOs as well as the supplies were delayed, and in the Mariko Bosveld, the contractor did not have the necessary occupational health and safety files that we could allow them to actually take site and to take site, and that have taken us in a certain matter of delay as well. On the maintenance plan, the percentage of projects that we had to complete, we completed 101 projects. Of the 1,105 that we listed for the year, and we were well on track to actually make these targets had we had not the situation where we were fined that there were certain discrepancies in the adjudication project and the process, and we had to abandon that process to start a new process afresh to ensure that we actually ensure that we stick within the rules of the Public Finance Management Act as well. Under 2.4.1, the rehabilitation of our conveyance systems like the canals and pipelines and tunnels that we have, we achieved a third about of the targeted kilometers that we had. In this regard, you needed aggregate chips or stones, as it's been called, to actually complete the manufacturing of the concrete, and you need to ensure that you do it in a continuous way, a basis to prevent cracking from happening subsequent to it. So that was the reason why the construction team could not have progressed as fast as it could. However, we've missed the target by only five as far as the job creation is concerned, but we trust too that this will even be much better once we have all the materials in sight. On the next slide 18, it speaks of the large regional bulk infrastructure, RBIC, that projects that need to be under construction. In certain of the provinces, we achieved more than the targeted, and others not, and hence that it led to a point where we missed the target by five. And on terms of the number of construction projects that is supposed to be under construction, and then also the number of large projects completed, we achieved 50% of that target, and the small RBIC projects, we missed that target by seven. And then just stick to these three. The majority of these targets that have not been met would have been the fact that there was delays in actually get contractors on site or the contractors appointments finalized. Our team is working with municipalities who are implementing some of these projects to ensure that we can get the contractors on site as soon as possible and actually get the projects also under construction completed where it is. Where the indicator 2.4.13 on the jobs created, there is a strict process to ensure that we have a situation where we can only report on the portfolio of evidence received, and we are working with our contractors to provide us portfolio of evidence as well to ensure that we are reporting better in that situation as well.
Through you, I think it jumped slide number 18. You went straight to number 19. If I can correct that through you. If you can ask him to go back to slide number 18. Number 18 is the number of small WISIC projects and the number of drought relief projects under construction. Yeah. It's 18. You've jumped. Yeah. So you can repeat that if I get it right.
Apologies for that. I just have my record as 19. The next slide. Sorry, apologies for that. On the number of small WISIC projects completed, we've achieved three of the eight that was targeted, and it would be more or less also on the same provisions that were given for the previous slide that I discussed in advance. The number of drought relief projects, majority of those projects were, about 12 of them have been completed in the previous quarter, hence the fact that we don't have them under construction no longer, as far as the 70 is concerned, hence the partially achieved report that was attained. And then perhaps I can just mention also in terms of the bucket eradication program, that less than 1%, and that would only be Campbell in terms of the target that was agreed upon, of the toilets were not built. All the other toilets were built. We are now in the process of ensuring that we have the reticulation systems being constructed, as well as the bulk sewer construction. Our construction unit is on site. We are also attaining the services of additional construction capacity to assure us that we fast-track that process of getting the bulk sewer network into the ground, and that will cause the bulk of the toilet that is not flushing as yet to get flushing, and then it will bring the backlog down significantly. So with the completion of, it will not be a linear completion or a linear achievement in terms of the 2,693 that need to be achieved. We are behind schedule, we note that, but once the sewer bulk network is in the ground, it will be basically a last chunks of these backlogs will then be addressed. Chairperson, that will be the completion of Program 3 then. Thank you.
Program 3, as you can see, Program 3 is very red. There's still a lot of work to be done to recover. Some of the projects, the big projects, like your Hazelmere, we had a contractual dispute there with Group 5. They will be back on site within 30 days. We have resolved that dispute. They have to go back on site. Please bear in mind that the project is 95% complete. That's your Hazelmere Dam. So they need to go back and complete the other 5%. We don't think it will be wise for us. We took a management decision that it will not be wise for us to appoint a new service provider. We have to continue with that service provider so that they can conclude what they have started. You would have seen that in Tzaneen, the biggest challenge there is Amakhosi, how we can negotiate with the traditional leaders to get the servitude and all the other, the pipeline going there. But that matter, again, it requires leadership from the department to resolve. I think I must say that the traditional community are hard bargainers. They are bargaining very hard for us to be able to meet some of the demands. You would have noticed that in Glen William, the biggest challenge there is sluggish procurement processes. I think, Chair, if there's one part where I need to take full responsibility as an accounting officer, is the performance of our procurement processes. It requires complete overhaul. It is very archaic, and I think we have all agreed at management level that this is one area that needs a complete overhaul. It's slowing us down. You will see it. It's recurring almost everywhere. It's like someone who's deliberately applying brakes on procurement processes. But we want to overhaul it because a number of investigations, whether it's irregular expenditure or it's fruitless and wasteful expenditure, they have a lot to do with how we procure. All the investigations on Quarter 2, they have a lot to do with the procurement. Quarter 2 is one of our projects. Even the Hazelmere irregular processes, they have a lot to do with our procurement processes. So our procurement processes are letting us down. But we can't complain about that. I think we were hired to fix those problems, and it will be my responsibility to make sure that we fix our procurement processes. We're now going to move to Program 3, which is regulations. Sorry, Program 4, we just completed 3. Toko Sigwaza is going to lead us in presenting Program 4. Toko.
Thank you, DG. Honorable Chair and members, good morning. The water sector regulation branch is about ensuring that we comply with national standards and regulations across the entire water value chain. We have 5 sub-programs under it, and we achieved 58% of our target. I will focus on the areas where we did not and give reasons why we did not achieve. On page 21, the first area where we could not achieve was the establishment of the water economic regulator. This target is a new initiative, was a new initiative in the sector, and we had to rethink how we conceptualize the regulator. So going forward, we have taken a decision that we will review the establishment of the regulator, and we will revert back to the portfolio committee in this by end of this quarter after the executive authority has finalized and applied her mind on it. But we did not achieve the appointment of the consultant. Thank you, Chair. Apologies for that. I will give other reasons of where we did not achieve our target. The second one was around the establishment of the National Water Infrastructure Agency, and in the recovery plan we have moved forward, and we have
that slide number 22.
Yes, thank you. and the National Water Infrastructure Agency has been on the policy of the department and also in the National Water Act, and it's bringing together all the infrastructure management and assets so that they are managed in one central a place for the economies of scale and ensuring good program management of infrastructure. So since the launch of the master plan, this is on minister's priority, and in terms of the recovery plan, we are moving with it. The second 4.2.2 under page 22 is the establishment of catchment management agencies. Honourable members, you are aware that initially we were supposed to have 9 CMAs across the country, but there was a delay in the reconfiguration of the CMAs, and this is why we did not achieve our target. But the minister has also launched it in the National Water Master Plan, and we have a recovery plan of the new reconfiguration. So we will be able to meet the target by June. The last one, Chair, is around the establishment of regional water and wastewater utilities, which is the consolidation of the water boards and looking into their financial viability and economies of scale. We also did not achieve it, although there were a lot of consultations, but we will recover before the end of the quarter. Chair, that's all on the water sector regulation.
Thank you, Chair. That takes care of Program 4. I'm sure you have noticed that the areas where we are not achieving is in those areas where we are doing institutional overhaul. We're creating new institutions and we are amalgamating other institutions. It's a little bit of a challenge, Chair, especially if there's a new administration to simply take what was done and not completed in the fifth administration. And I think there's more consultation needed here as well, because it would mean that some people's jobs will be threatened. So we have to deal with the institutional reform carefully so that we don't end up creating unnecessary panic. We're now going to move to the water trading entity. And I'm going to ask the CFO to lead us in presenting both. In fact, we'll cover both the main account and the water trading entity account. CFO.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Maybe we can ask the CFO to start with slide 24, which is about the debtors.
Yeah. There is a question that whether it's still acting. So I was saying you can confirm that.
Yes, he's acting. Sorry, Chair. Well, whether you're acting or not, you are fully accountable. He's the acting chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, honourable members, DG colleagues. Slide number 24 relates to the number of debtors' days, the days that it takes for the water trading entity to collect money due to it from the users, including water boards as well as municipalities. The actual achievement against the target of 150 days is 182 days, and this was not achieved due to the challenges that we are still having with the recoveries where the users are not settling their bills. There are engagements which are taking place between the department as well as COCTA. Also, at an operational level, there are operational interventions to engage with our users, municipalities, water boards, to try and recover as much as the department can recover. I'll be touching on this also when reflecting on the financial performance, DG Chairperson, through your permission. I think it will also explain exactly the areas of constraints. Where are we not recovering, which periods, and how much have we billed to these users. Should I proceed to the next presentation? Thank you. I will move over to part B of the presentation, that is slide number 25. The overview of the presentation covers the reporting period, which is April 2019 to December 2019, on budget performance, the financial position, your liabilities, and then we'll also briefly touch on the drought funding. As previously requested, there's also additional information on provincial analysis. Okay, I'll move straight to slide number 27. At end of December, the spending by the department on the main account is 59%. Compared against the drawings, we have spent 80%. If you take the planned expenditure against the actual expenditure, the spending is at 8%. The summary reflects the program classification of the spending. The highest spending program is Program 1, Administration. One of the main reasons for this high expenditure is that the program itself carries shared costs such as office accommodation, as well as security services. The other programs are lagging behind for reasons that have been stated by the program managers, which has to do with both internal and external factors. The internal factors are the ones that have been alluded to around contractual disputes, as well as the chain, the supply chain management process that DG referred to. External factors that are contributing to these, they've also been covered, the community unrest issues, also taking into consideration that the department is making use of implementing agents. I will go to the economic classification of the presentation. It's just the lower part of the slide number 27. Compensation of employees have been discussed earlier on, the reasons for the underspending, vacancy rate, as well as the fact that there was a point during the year where Treasury was indicating some significant cuts, which were later reversed, leading to the department now moving with speed to prioritize filling of critical posts. Goods and services, 60%, that is under pressure, amongst others, is some of the invoices that I will speak to when reflecting on the accruals and payables that the department still has to honor. Transfers and subsidies, transfers to entities, water boards, except for Amatola water board, those are at par. We had during the period some withholding of transfers to municipalities in line with the Division of Revenue Act. That is also covered in the subsequent slides. Payments for capital assets, that is the area of concern where the spending is at 31%. Quite a lot of money around the regional bulk infrastructure grant, as well as water services infrastructure grant, where the department is responsible for the building of that infrastructure, is allocated against this item. And a bulk of it is utilized through, is being expensed through implementing agents. Payments of financial assets, those are the write-offs, which are ordinarily not planned, and we incurred that amount to the approval by the accounting officer for amounts which were considered to be irrecoverable. I will move over to slide number 28. It's just a rearrangement of the main account operational budget, the spending. Then I will quickly go to the grants. The others I've already spoken to. Again, the regional bulk infrastructure grant, that is where the department reprioritized money towards drought, as well as water service infrastructure grant. Bucket eradication program as well, the spending at the reporting date was low, amongst others are those reasons that DG Manners has alluded to. Chairperson, I'll move over to page slide number 29, the budget and expenditure report for the water trading account. Water trading account is also lagging behind the program that DDG Manas spoke to relate to both the trading entity as well as the main account. So most of the reasons that were provided earlier on around those augmentation programs and projects, the Hazelmere, the Umzimbu, they are residing within this account. So the spending is relatively low. Under the programs, one of the programs that are spending up to the planned targets is financing and investment in raw water infrastructure. That relates mainly to CCTA, your finance costs, your royalties, operating expenses that are paid to TCTA for the project that are being run on behalf of the department. One of the deviations under economic classification on the same slide is the compensation of employees. That relates mainly to construction-related personnel costs, where there are costs that have been incurred, however, they are not recovered from projects. Those are the fixed costs that construction has incurred, but however, they could not be recovered from the project due to various reasons with the clients, both internal and external clients. Slide number 30, summary of financial position. This slide is also meant, Chairperson, to also provide an overview of where the department is around the key elements of financial recovery plan in respect of liabilities and assets, current and your long-term liabilities. On the main account, the comparison from the beginning of the financial year, the year closed with an overdraft, and at end of December there was a favorable balance. However, that should be contextualized. It links to the under expenditure that has been reported when reflecting on the statement of financial performance. Unauthorized expenditure is still undergoing the process of Parliament. Accruals and payables, there are separate slides that have been prepared for that, but it shows also an improvement when comparing with the previous year. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the amount that has been reflected there on the main account relates to areas of spending time, and these are preliminary figures that still have to be finalized. Irregular expenditure, there were condonations, and there are still other investigations that are taking place, and the department has also made condonation applications to Treasury. Some we have obtained responses where further work was directed by Treasury, and in other areas, condonation is still awaited. Treasury is still going through their processes. I think one of the significant items there relates to your contingent liabilities. Those are the claims, your claims against the state. There is also a reduction in the provisions. Mainly in the provisions, it's a provision for the work that is being done on the Mfuleni, the intervention. Funding has been provided, and in the new financial year, the department should be able to de-recognize this provision. Financial guarantees as well, this relates to the TCTA and other guarantees that the government has made against various institutions. So there is also a reduction there as payments are being made. On the water trading entity, the bank balance also was favorable at the end of December against the closing of March. There's also a reduction on accruals and payables. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure increasing, that links to the earlier point I made around the cost, the overhead cost that are incurred mainly on the construction unit of the department. You find that there are losses there that are not recoverable from the various projects, and those are classified as fruitless and wasteful and or losses. Regular expenditure, we are having recurring contracts that are still incurring this cost, and similar to the main account, application for condonation has been submitted to Treasury. One other significant item under the trading entity that speaks to the financial recovery plan element is the TCTA liability, which closed at 22 billion, and at the end of December, 21 billion, with a movement of 896. And the water sales debt balance, there is an increase on the debtors, and that is amongst other reasons that is due to the interest that is being accumulated on the debt book. National Treasury has been engaged. They also presented to Parliament that they are still considering possibilities of wavering interest to ensure that we don't have this ever-increasing liability, I mean receivable on the books of the entity and the water boards. Slide number 31, I've covered that. It's just to reflect the balances where we are with the accruals and payables, and this is also covered in the subsequent slides. For the sake of time, I'll move to slide number 32, which reflects now the closing balances. EW CETA Energy and Otas CETA is still showing an amount of 222 million that relates to own leaks, and Lebelle Northern Water is one of the entities with a significant amount. Most of those relate to intervention projects that the department had to execute through Lebelle Northern Water, and some of those have been paid. However, there's still budget constraints. And the reason, amongst others, is that this relates more to goods and services, which is already under pressure within the department. One other significant balance is Randwater again. That relates to all leaks. There's a reduction, however, there's still a balance that is due. And then Urban Dynamics, that relates to a claim in Mpumalanga's project under Bushbuck Ridge, which Randwater was implementing on behalf of the department, and the claim has since been submitted. Water trading entity relates mainly to water services projects which have been implemented previously by the water trading entity on behalf of the department, and subsequently Treasury issued out an instruction that those projects shouldn't be funded from the water trading account or entity, so that it does not dilute its mandate. Those as well, I can confirm, Chairperson, that payments are in progress for those through reprioritization. Slide number 33 is just detailed analysis of the movement that I've spoken to earlier on. Where were we when we closed the year, and where are we now in respect of the accruals and payables? Slide number 34 is just a commitment of the department to reflect that there are indeed commitments. As the program managers were presenting, there was specific reference to contractual disputes. So there are obligations that should be translating into expenditure. However, due to those challenges that have been referred to, there is low translation of these commitments into expenditure. Also to confirm that this 4.2 billion is a multi-year commitment on the main account. Slide number 35 is commitments on the water trading entity at 593 million. I'll move quickly to slide number 36. I've spoken to this already. We have been requested before to reflect on the analysis and progress made on the overdraft. So this is just a monthly presentation of what I've already mentioned earlier on. On slide number 37, I spoke already to the analysis of the trade debtors and recoveries. The slide there reflects the amount that we are having at the end of the period, each period, and how much has been billed and how much has been collected for the period. I will now move over to drought funding and the prioritization that speaks to one of the interventions that the department is making to both address the drought but also to ensure that there isn't huge underspending. On slide number 39, Chairperson, the 2.5 billion that is reflecting there is an amount after adjusting for the drought. So what the department did, National Treasury was approached, we had to obtain approval to reallocate some of the funds from your original bulk infrastructure grant towards drought interventions. So the expenditure now at the end of, on the 21st, it was 1 billion and we still had 1.2 billion. However, when we reflected as of yesterday, our expenditure was now up to 1.2 billion with pending payments amounting to 576. I'm mentioning figures, Chairperson, that are not on the slide, it's just for an update, which then leaves us with 694 million available budget between now and the end of March, which is in a couple of weeks' time. Slide number 40 is just the narrative on the process that the department undertook to reprioritize the budget. And slide number 41 indicates the funds that have been allocated towards a drought. From the regional bulk infrastructure grant, 459 million has been reprioritized, and out of water services infrastructure grant, 479. In total, 938 million has been reprioritized towards drought. This includes the portion that I've indicated, Chairperson, that Treasury's approval was sought. And I'll move over to slide number 42. Slide number 42 answers the question, Chairperson, that where does this money come from, especially from the regional bulk infrastructure grant. Those reallocations were taken from the Eastern Cape region, Free State, as well as Gauteng, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and the Western Cape. So this went through a process where the department, together with the implementing agents, had a detailed working session reviewing the work done so far and your cash flow projections, and those amounts were declared as underspending that could be reprioritized towards drought. Chairperson, that covers the financial report. I'm not sure, through your permission, whether we need to proceed to the provincial analysis, which is starting from slide number 44. Thank you. Slide number 44, provincial analysis. It covers disbursements that have been made on conditional grants and also reflects on amounts that have been withheld, the transfers where there were concerns, issues of non-compliance, and then also we'll touch on the water board. Slide number 45 reflects the spending to date against the planned transfer. Overall is 86%, and then the municipal reporting is at 45%. That is now on the direct transfers to municipalities under regional bulk infrastructure grant. Moving over to slide number 46, water services infrastructure grant. The planned transfer overall is 2.3, and year to date transfer, the reporting date, 1.9 billion, with 449 million still remaining. Those are the variances that I'll be reflecting on the next slide, where there are withholdings. So the 449 is outlined now on the next slide, slide number 47. So the slide, as previously requested by the committee, reflects the amounts that have not been transferred and the reasons. Overall, the reasons have to do with under expenditure of the previous transfers that have been released to these municipalities, as well as issues of non-compliance with the Division of Revenue Act. Okay, slide number 48, again, is both the RPIC and the WISIC to reflect the withholdings that have been reported. Slide 49-50 is just extracts from the Division of Revenue Act to explain the reasons and the conditions for the withholding, and I will skip that with your permission and move over to slide number 52. That is now the regional bulk infrastructure grant, where we reflect the project names. Eastern Cape and Free State are on slide number 52. 58% year-to-date expenditure on the Eastern Cape, Free State at 76%. So there aren't major issues then. And on slide number 53, KwaZulu-Natal, there are projects there that we are funding through the 5B allocations, and the overall spend for KZN is 58% at the end of December. In Limpopo, we have the Polokwane waste treatment works and the bulk water supply, and the spending there is at 55% at the end of December. On slide number 54, Mpumalanga, direct transfer adjusted budget is 370, and up until the end of December, 163 is the expenditure, and the available budget 207. Northern Cape, there is low spending. The department has transferred the expenditure of 21, but there are also areas of withholding that I've indicated earlier on. Similarly to on slide number 55, Northwest, Dr. Ruth Sohomozi Mumpati, there are withholdings, hence the spending is still at zero. There were interventions, municipalities were engaged together with National Treasury, and I can also confirm specifically on this one that subsequent to the reporting period, engagement with Treasury led to approvals for the release of the trenches. Western Cape spending at zero. And the next analysis is on Water Services Infrastructure Grant Direct Transfer. That is now on slide number 57 for the Eastern Cape, with the adjusted budget of 520 and the spending at 35%. Free State under Water Service Infrastructure Grant, the direct transfers at 68%, and Gauteng is also sitting at 66%. Water Service Infrastructure Grant under KwaZulu-Natal, out of the 903, we are still having 426 to transfer to the municipalities. Similarly to Limpopo on slide number 61, 506 is the budget, and 317 million has been recorded as expenditure for the period ending December. I'll move over to slide number 62, Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga is at 47%, and all the affected municipalities are listed there. Okay, then on slide number 63, Water Service Infrastructure Grant for Northern Cape, 63% is the recorded spending with the details outlined there. Northwest, again the deviation there is on Dr. Ruth, which I have already reflected earlier on, that we had challenges with the municipalities which were subsequently resolved after the reporting period. And slide number 67 speaks now to the regional bulk infrastructure grant, which the department is managing together with the implementing agents. In the Eastern Cape, our allocation adjusted then is 265, and at the end of December, we have recorded 135 as expenditure, with 130 still to be spent. Noting that there's also an allocation for drought within that province region. And then on slide number 68, Free State. Free State allocation includes both the normal allocation on RBIC as well as the bulk provision for bucket eradication in this 692. So as we've indicated that on the bucket eradication, we are lagging behind, the allocation is also sitting in this province. On slide number 69, Gauteng received quite a lot of money for the Vaal River intervention from Treasury, where we had appointments made for the service providers, including Airward, as well as the Defence Force who were assisting, and those invoices are coming for payment, and we hope that by the end of the reporting period, March, we would have resolved those. Some of the money funds within Gauteng Chairperson, they were also redirected, as I indicated, towards drought. KwaZulu-Natal, on slide number 70, the KwaZulu-Natal region, most of the allocations are under direct transfers, so the amount that is reflected here is mainly to deal with retentions and to close the projects which were still funded previously through the indirect allocations. Limpopo, on slide number 71, Limpopo also experienced quite a lot of challenges around contractual disputes, as well as stoppages that DDG referred to when presenting. And there were also reallocations that were made to settle some of the projects, like such as Mopani Emergency Project that was previously funded through the water trading entity. So reallocations have been made to ensure that funds are utilized by the end of the year. On Mpumalanga, Mpumalanga 205 is the adjusted allocation, and as I've indicated earlier on, that there was also a provision for pushback ridge reticulation, which was implemented by Rainwater. So that process is still being attended to with Rainwater as well as Treasury. Reallocations were made pending finalization of processes to settle that amount. Northern Cape Valhamahara scheme is a scheme that is being paid through the appropriation transfers. However, during the adjustment period, it became clear that there were still liabilities that required further funding under this scheme, that is for the Valhamahara project, and funds were reallocated that relates to the 66 million that is referred under the Northern Cape. Northwest is reporting, we have reported 55% spending, and with invoices on hand, this region should be able to spend its full allocation by the end of the period. Okay. Western Cape, 27%. And I'll quickly move fast to the water services infrastructure grant that is now at a detailed a level of what I presented earlier on. On slide 77 is the Free State, KZN, as well as Limpopo province with all those projects. They include both the drought interventions as well as the bucket eradication. Okay. And on slide number 78, Mpumalanga, the amount has been made available for drought, the 20 million, and the pushback ridge spending, there is 46,000 that is being reprioritized to cover the that deviation of 46,000. And all other provinces there, Northern Cape, they relate also to bucket eradication. And also under the Northwest province, there is money made available towards drought within the province. The last slide, person on slide number 29, speaks to the allocations to the water boards. all the water boards that the department is using to implement certain specific projects. So those are the spendings that they have reported, that the department has reported, and the actual spending is with the water board. The remaining amount of 136 million subsequent to end of December, transfers were made, and by end of March, all the water board transfers would have been processed. Thank you, DG.
Chair, that takes care of the financial situation of the department in the third quarter, and we are ready to take questions.
Thank you, DG. Honourable members, you are welcome to interact with the report. I see Honourable Aga, Honourable Mokotu, Honourable Mashehu, Honourable Koni, Honourable Feke, Honourable Mvana, Honourable Gwezi, Honourable Feke. Honourable August.
Chairperson, thank you very much and good morning to everybody. I'd like to say, Chairperson, perhaps I don't understand the report or if this is the format of the report, but to be honest with you, Chairperson, if I should go out to constituents and public and to the public, I will not be able to report on this. Number one, if you look at program one, it's four pages. It's a third quarter report of four pages. We've spent thousands to get here this morning, all of us. The government and public money spent thousands of rands to get here, to receive a four-page report. Now, I'm not gunning the officials, but one, it says to me what has been achieved. It's the first page, five, is just the tables. Page six as well. Page seven just gives a detailed report, and page eight and nine, again, graphs. It doesn't say to me what this department has achieved in terms of what projects, and I can go to the other programs as well. Program two, it's a little bit more in detail, but it doesn't say to me, page 11, draft population structure, 17 district municipalities, doesn't say to me which district municipalities, that's the target. Actual achievement, no achievement, delayed due to procurement processes. Surely, project management is a problem in this department. Project management, it's October to December. We get this report a day before the time expected to read through all of this. This has been done by December. Surely you have had to prepare yourself January and the whole of February, to give it to us a day before the time is totally unacceptable. Project 3, six pages. It doesn't say to us what this department has achieved, where it has achieved. It doesn't say to us what is the problems, where the problems is. It just say it hasn't achieved, with no reason to what the projects are, what's the details of the projects. I cannot go out and report, DG. If you look at this and look at these reports, program one has got four pages, two has got four pages, three has got six pages, and four gives us the whole lot of the whole provinces, the money expenditures. Honestly, I don't even know what to ask or what to say to you, because there's nothing I can ask you, because there's nothing in the report for me to ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm worried about Program 1 under financial management. As the Committee of Water and Sanitation, or Human Settlement Water and Sanitation, since last year, June, we've been preaching to the department that they must make sure that for them to be able to implement their work effectively and efficiently, they must make sure that they fill vacant posts, especially vacant posts of those skills that are very rare. But the department deliberately, it is dragging its feet to do that. That is why the department is unable to reach its overall targets. How can you really meet your targets if you do not have appropriate people to make sure that they deliver, they do the work that they are supposed to do for the department to be successful? I'm not buying it when the department says that they had to cut budget. Why did the department decide to cut budgets when they were supposed to employ people? Because by so doing, you are increasing a high unemployment rate that we are facing with in South Africa. And then again, on program 3, about 50 jobs have not been created because you could not achieve. What does that say to us? It's because the department is not interested in seeing that our people are employed. You're not interested in keeping the high unemployment rate in our country. That is why, maybe it's because you don't care, because you yourself, you are employed. And again, we have this issue of eradicating the bucket system. Eradicating the bucket system is long overdue, and it's not negotiable because it's about restoring the dignity of our people. You gave yourself a target of 2,693, yet you were only able to eradicate only 81 buckets or bucket systems or system. I don't understand this. I want to know, what is the delay? Why are you procrastinating, you know, completing this eradication of bucket system in the informal settlement? Because our people are staying in conditions that are appalling or appalling. Conditions that are not suitable for any human being to can stay there. And we have another basic need, which is a cry all over South Africa, but at this point in time, I'll talk about the people who are staying in Sekhukhune. The people of Sekhukhune are crying. They want water. But we, the department, are delaying this process. How long are we going to take negotiating with Khosi Maroga, Feta Khomu Thubatse, LMS, Cockstar, for them to be able to sign this memorandum of understanding? I don't think that Khosi Maroga, for example, and the others will have a problem of providing the department with land, because they do care for their people. They want their people to have water. It is the department that is dilly-daying. Maybe the department have a reason why. Can you please explain why you are dilly-daying this process? And we also have bulk projects of water that are not delivered because the department is not monitoring the process whereby people are being, or service providers are being awarded tenders. When you look on page, what page is that? When you look on page 13, for an example, you have water service, local water management, which has not been achieved under 2.2.2, the reason being due to procurement processes. Obviously, if you say it is due to a delay in procurement processes, it simply means that we do not have appropriate people who can be able to award tenders in a proper way, and then who are able to deliver the work which the Department of Water and Sanitation is expecting them to deliver. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just going to raise three or few questions around the report. Yes, we agree that it's expected that the actual achievements of non-financial performance against plan targets should be well in the region of 75%, given that we are on the fourth quarter of the financial year in the review. That is 25% of targets should have been achieved in the first quarter, 50% on the second quarter, 75% at the end of the third quarter. Less than 50% of overall targets were achieved by the end of the third quarter, and this could result in a material underperformance by the end of this financial year, 2019 to 2020. The biggest contributors to the underperformance as at reporting date are the following. Program 2, Water Planning and Information Management, is at 57%. Program 3, Water Infrastructure Development, is at 29%. And Program 4, Water Sector Regulation, is at 58%. That is an issue to me. I also want to reiterate on the administration, which is under Program 1. An overall satisfactory performance for the period under review. This satisfactory performance, which you attributed to, in two functions areas, sub-programs, which are corporate services and financial management in the main. 4.1 page 8, if you go to page 8, however, concern should be expressed regarding the absence of performance information or non-performance of the sub-program listed as departmental management, where a 0% performance was recorded as at reporting date. Why is there no performance information recorded against this functional area? This could impact negatively overall in your performance. When we go to page 9, sub-program on financial management, the target set is 73%. And the actual achievement is said to be 59 at reporting date. This does not correlate with the 67% milestone achieved as reported on page 8. Why the disparity between the two? On page 9, still on the same sub-program, the low spending or underperformance is ascribed to the slow filling of vacant positions. How long does it take for the department to fill up those positions? Yes, there was some explanation, but it's still unacceptable that up to now, we have not filled any vacancies. How does these vacancies impact on the overall departmental performance, especially with regard to underperformed programs? Chairperson, coming back to page 9, still on the same sub-program, was outstanding performance bonuses and pay progressions paid, including the 32 million rand to the Amatola Water Board? This is a concern because the department is presenting the third quarter performance, and it's left with only the fourth quarter before the year concludes. On page 10, program 2, water plan information management, the major contributor to the underperformance under this program is a sub-program called water services and local water management, with an overall achievement of 20% of its milestone as at reporting date. That is concerning. We know the crisis we have throughout the country, different municipalities about water. We know the situation in Kwakwa and many other municipalities. Water planning and information management, the major contributor to the underperformance, yes, I've already said that. The indicator is the number of district municipalities that must complete and submit 5-year water and sanitation master plans. These documents or plans are highly essential as they ought to inform national and provincial governments of service delivery backlogs, condition of municipal water and sanitation, how do we support those municipalities to make sure that their master plans are in order, because at the same time, how do we interact, because the municipalities themselves are in charge of their master plans. Chair, for now, let me stop here. I will take the next bite. Thank you.
If there will be. Yes, if there will be the second bite.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me also reiterate what the other honourable members have said with regard to the late submission of the presentation DG. I think this is not for the first time that you are doing it, and we are not happy as a portfolio committee to receive the presentation very late. I think we received it late last night, and I think you must improve on that matter, DG. And secondly, on slide 15, 16, you are intending to, or you are in a process of building several dams in the country, and you are indicating to us that the number of jobs that you want to create out of that is 50, which to me, I'm not comfortable with that, vis-a-vis the budget allocated to the dams that you're going to build. These are major projects, and 50 jobs, I think, is not sufficient. And to date, you're saying that you have not, or in terms of the actual achievement, is zero. But on the other side, you are saying the Hazelmere project is at 95%. But in terms of the jobs created, it's still zero. So I want you to clarify that matter. And the other matter, Chair, is on the filling of a vacant post. I think we must get the time frames. Today, Chair, we must get a commitment from the department to say when are they going to fill this critical funded vacancy in the posts in the department, because we'll continuously get this challenge of saying we've got critical vacancies that are not fit. So I think we must get a proper time frame to say when are they going to fill these positions, Chair. The other matter regarding Program 1, the presenter said that we have underspent on goods and services, but he has not elaborated more on what were the reasons for underspending on goods and services, and what are those. The other slide speaks to your MUSA, which I agree with you is a is a voluntary process. You indicate that out of 16, you only have 14 municipalities that have submitted. and you have not indicated the two outstanding municipalities, and what are those municipalities and what are the reasons for them not to submit that assessment, because I think going forward is going to assist us in terms of what are the challenges and what are the strengths that they are facing in terms of water services in their municipalities. In addition to the question that was raised with regard to the budget eradication program, remember that the target for eradicating this program, this budget system, informal, not informal, in the formal settlement, it was that was set by the country. It was in 2006, and we extended it to 2015, and now we are in 2020. And hopefully, we're not going to implement this outstanding or deal with the outstanding toilets in this year. So I think we must also get a commitment, the time frame from the department to say, in addition to what the minister said, because the minister in the budget speech has committed herself and the department to the nation to say that we are going to eradicate this budget system in 6 months. So, and we are not fulfilling that commitment. So let's recommit yourself again to say, when are you going to commit to finish this, to complete this outstanding budget system. And DJ, I think through chair, at a certain point you must discuss the state of the water, the wastewater treatment plant and the water treatment plant in our country. I'm raising this chair because on our oversight we visited a few water treatment plants and most of them were not convinced of their status. And I'm also raising this chair because in one of the projects that we have visited, or of the site that we have visited, government has spent more than 60 million, I think it was in Kiani, in building a new treatment plant. But as we are speaking, that project or that infrastructure is not working. So I think we must discuss that. We must get a time, must dedicate time to discuss the state of the of this infrastructure in our country. The other matter, Chair, I think, which is the last matter. We've got municipalities that are not performing their tasks. And yes, though I agree with the department that they must withhold the grants meant for service delivery in those different municipalities. But I think it is important, Chair, to deal with each municipality. I'm not quite sure whether as the portfolio committee should we then call those municipalities or together us and the department deal with the challenges that are facing a municipality. I agree, and I know that most municipalities do not have capacity to deliver the services, especially in the water sector. But on the other side, our communities are struggling with regard to getting water. So I think at a certain point, let's discuss and come up with a strategy to say, how do we then assist these individual municipalities in making sure that they provide water to our own people. More especially that the budget is there, the problem I think is the capacity of the municipality. Oh, the last one is in slide 28. I think it was presented by the acting CFO regarding the youth prizes. I see that there are youth prizes that were allocated, and I just want to know more about that program. What was it all about when they were allocating prizes to young people? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe let me first ask from the DG whether when is this Hollywood Theatre going to be at the end? Because if you get the introduction, it's acting. Really, you don't expect anything if everybody and everyone is acting here. We are really concerned about this. We don't want to stay for as long as it's a holiday or Hollywood Theatre. Maybe let me go straight to program 3. I'm worried about program 3 because that's where things happen, really. We start from slide 17. The reason for the I don't know what was it, but there is lack of maintenance of contract. Following line, they mentioned the discrepancies in adjudication. Hey, I'm asking myself, then what is the plan out of that? Because you follow slide 18, it's talking about the same. Even the DG is talking about the sluggish process in the procurement processes. What's going to be the remedy on this? One honorable member said maybe there is no capacity in the department in terms of that unit or section. You know, some of other things we in the previous quarterly report were mentioned and we have asked, but we can't let it go even in this report, because it's worse after the oversight that we went to. Because I'm asking also program 4, Mfuleni, where we visited. Is there a monitoring that is taking place out of the intervention that has been made by the department? If yes, how is it? Maybe let me also get the more information about it. I get it's worse with the condonation. First report I asked this, how long are you going to ask the condonation? Do you think is it the right thing for asking condonation at all times? I don't think it is correct. VAR, it was terrible when we visited VAR. I just can't remember whether, oh yes, we had a department on that visit. What is it that we're going to do there? Let alone that at least you have tried to intervene in that process and pour some big money. But just as a layman person, do you think you will win on that situation? And when people are asking water, we don't have water. Randomly, we give them water that is unpurified, I will put it that way. What should we answer when people are asking about this issue? It's in papers, it's in radios, it's in TVs. Chairperson was also stuck. We were just looking at one another when we were shown that mess that is there in the van. It's fine.
then drought. There is this 449 million that couldn't be transferred. Randomly, Okanye, certainly it was just transformed to these following provinces that have been mentioned. Etowah, that was last week or 2 weeks back, I'm sure the DG knows. People wanted to crush the minister there. They don't even want to hear about the department. What is the plan? Yes, like, I don't know, the province, the Gauteng, is it Gauteng, where we were shown the water tanks, the whatever, the soldiers that are bringing water to people. But is it going to assist us going further? The entire trucks that are few, and also that we can't manage to buy trucks as the department. Who's out one? Yes, we are also telling people to pray for rain, because there's no rain. But you get to places where there are boreholes, like in the villages. Those boreholes are abandoned, they are there. Of course, yeah, the boreholes can't work without rain, because they have to draw water underneath. But, hey, man. And has been secondary upper in this department, but there's something wrong happening. It's just that in some we are unable to get through and look at it. Yeli so nyani that will assist us. Chairperson Mantele Apo, maybe other honourable members will ask the questions and answer.
Honourable Mashego.
Especially on the area where I was raising earlier on the point on DG. Look, firstly we should move from a premise that we passed a budget, and when we pass the budget, we suspect that, or, and I'm using suspect because the opposite is happening, that the department will work within the budget. And changing of the budget, which has been passed in the sitting, should not be as just simply as a visit by the minister looking at drought and change the budget. Remember, we sit here, we fight with other people to pass the budget, and we go to the sitting in the plenary. We get to fight for the budget to be passed. Only for yourselves unilaterally to change it and come and report. And sometimes confirming things that we have, might have defeated in our political discussions. But you find it very simple to change the budget. And to me, it undermines the whole issue of a committee sitting and passing a budget for purposes of implementing in a financial year. We were given 16 billion rand, the 16 billion rand, out of it you minus the money for the accruals and other things, and we're left with about 13 or so billion. And today we are told 938 million of that money we shall not be spent, because we have got either not capacity to spend, but also that indeed I'm not undermining what is going to be spent for, if it is going to be spent. The fact is that it changes the posture of the budget we passed by a billion rand, to be honest. And it's so simple for it to do it. And look, DG, I was in Kimberley in January. I went to a number of places. One of those places I went to is a place called Yakal's Kraal. Full of water, very green. And I I ran for about 20 to 30 k's from the hotel I was, and I came across an area called at the other side of Khalshiwe, very green. There's a mine in that, just as you go past Kimball, Volkswagen and Mazda, at the far end of it. Very green of, and full of water. And the day before, the department has declared, and I know that Northern Cape is not Kimball, and I'm very aware of that. But I found that the water has been privatized in Kimball. The next door of the Jackal's Kraal place, people have got no water. But there's a lot of water around the area. I went to one PNP where part of our community was staying. Very nice PNP, they're full of swimming pools and so forth and so on. In a private institution. So I think we really need to get deep into this. What is it that we mean when we say the place is drought, there is no water, when there are people that have got water in abundance that they don't even need for that matter? And I've said I think we need to do that. Okay. Let me try to go to my point by point. I was just talking there, Chair. Look, and I think I want to share the view that the member Feke is raising on the two municipalities that did not participate in the MUSA process. Voluntary as it might be, but the necessary voluntary. But at some point you must punish them if you don't know their status. And they come and say, we do not help them to say, but you did not come to the party when we needed you to inform us about yourself. And if we might just get to know that, we're also going to be answerable to those issues. On page 12, you say there that, slide 12, if you look into the response, you are saying that you are going to make a follow-up on with municipalities and the report will come in January 2020. We are in the end of February. The financial year will end in March. I think it will be in the fourth quarter. That's all of it. Maybe we will get that. If we get it, please let us get it. Just for us to understand where are we in this particular process. Chair, I really take it painfully that amongst you as technocrats of the department, or no, not of parliament, you can differ to a point where you change the budgeted programs. If you look at page 13, you are saying approved National Water Resource Strategy Edition 3, and the reasons why we are deviating there, if you go to the far right, was you are saying cabinet process for approval, not cabinet process for approval to gazette public consultation. It is not achieved. Why is it not achieved? It is because the extended top management policy did not approve the request. So you are playing power politics there of being top in management. And I know it is you who have been denied it, but I'm just saying you deliberately. So to me, it's that officials of parliament, they are so big to a level that they can undermine the need of communities by ego, and therefore we suffer the consequence of the egoistic manner of officials of parliament that. You cannot pass water to people. People need water every day. You cannot pass the water reticulation to people because egos are playing its role. And this we must say even in parliament sitting of all other departments, because there is nobody can play big and be clean coming to meetings when there is no water where you come from. So when we say water is life, it's not a statement we are making. is because it is. Now you are saying here that the recommended that an internal consultation takes place. So you still want to go and see it in your fancy offices of full of air conditioning to talk English and change the E's and the Y and the T's at the expense of our communities. And the people can staff outside, but as long as you internally, as officials of parliament, you feel comfortable to talk English and we staff, it's okay. If you look into the 4.1.2, it says National Water and Sanitation Bill developed. Water and Sanitation Bill consented for public consultation. It is not achieved. Why? Management took a decision to reopen internal consultation. You are saying. The effect being that the bill will be resubmitted to DG clusters prior to it going to cabinet. In China, people were found to have sickness of alcohol, but coronavirus alcoholism. They built a hospital in 10 days' time. They built a hospital. There was no budget, there was nothing. They built a hospital, people are hospitalized. Here, people have got no water. We want meetings in order to give people water. Because we are clean, we're drinking water. We want meetings that where the people of Skuguna can get water, or the people from Kimberley can get water, or people from Limpopo, or Pushbackridge for that matter can. You want to decide in a flesh office whether to give that water to the people that have got no water at all. And that's how this parliament works. I'm honestly heartbroken. Now, if you look into, and I'll come back to the page 14 because there's a contradiction which one of the members has raised. I'll raise it again, but in another one. I just want to ask, is the pity there is no minister or deputy minister here? What is their role when you engage amakhoshis and political bodies that stops you from doing what you have passed? But it is political, it is not administrative. For you to go and meet with a Khoshi, there must be a minister, a deputy minister, a member of parliament who has been voted, who can say to the Khoshi, you are wrong, I'm going to continue. Because I remember we represent people who were voted by people. A Khoshi does not own the land. He holds a PTO on behalf of communities. If he And Umamu Mkhutu is raising it maybe next positive. Look at, you know, she believes Khoshis like their communities. No, Mamkhutu. That's why when the DGs was talking and saying these traditional leaders are good, they are negotiating to the core. They do not want to hold the community as for the people. They are saying, convince, give us first, as inkosi mashiko and inkosi ngwezi enatal, nika mina kai. Yeah, before kuluma ngabantu ngwezi inkosi, hindu unanyana ngisho amtola pam, emsobu. So that's where the problem is. What is the role of political bodies in our department? The minister, two deputy ministers, and of course, why are we not necessarily even go to Pulukwan? Take the chairperson, she's from there, she was a councillor there. She was given mandate by people when she was a councillor. She was an MEC at some point in Limpopo. People have given her mandate of what they want about water. Then she must be in a position to tell the host, good host, yeah. So, because what I know, they will tell you that if you want a veg, you must pay for the veg. If you want to your sitting Kosha. This land in between two lands, the language you use. Everything that you need to use across their land, pay for it, as if you are not doing it for the owners of the land. But if you engage political people in a political discussion, stakeholders, they are political people. They do not talk administration, those people. They talk politics. What is our role as elected representatives in engaging with these political bodies that stalls you from implementing the mandate of the people? Because the people, we were voted by people to give them services. And in us, they trust. Why are we not so involved in trying to want to deal with this particular issue? We have said, if you look in page 15, DG, we want to get a report on the demographic change of this construction unit. You are not giving us that report. But for as long as that construction unit is so living, it contains people who believe apartheid was never crime against humanity, it will never change the posture. And we said we want to get the progress on what is it that we are doing in changing this particular structure called a construction unit, which it is indeed really wild. You are writing in page 15 that and in your presentation you are presenting that due to inconsistencies or inaccuracies in the policy making, you have now discrepancies in adjudication process. You are saying in adjudication you found good Kunama discrepancies, and you are talking mild English. It's not discrepancies, it's corruption. You found that people basenga inkomo enganabisi kuphume nebisi ukuzomakhelwana angatholi lutho. You found that. Tell us that. What is it that you did, DG, when your officials were found to be putting their nails and hands in the cookie jar? Like what has happened in Eskom chair. 90% of tenders of Eskom is among senior officials of Eskom. And therefore you just give each other bread in the process. So here you are saying you have found discrepancies in adjudication process. What are those? What is that you did to correct it? So you cannot now just cancel and re-advertise and it is business as usual. It can't. What are the consequences of these things that have been? Because this is what, it's unfortunate that the two members of TA decided to go. But they have been telling us this thing that no, there is too much corruption in this department to a level that you and indeed when you get them like a change, you are not saying don't do it. But tell us what you found, what you have done, what the consequences you took as consequence management and to this issue. This issue of and I'm sure Umam Teke has raised the issue of the jobs created in the process. The unfortunate part. In the infrastructure development, this is where our people want us to develop infrastructure development. We are doing bad. It is the only place where you have got a lot of rain in it. And that's where you are supposed to be dealing with this particular issue. And I've spoken about the kings. Now, if you look, I want to find the fair share in that comparison I was making earlier on of the at the percentage level. Let me go to those figures. I'm sorry. Page 27. Just let's read infrastructure development in page 14. Vis-a-vis what you are saying in page 27 on infrastructure. You are saying the infrastructure development, and I want just to go to the percentage expected and the annual budget thereof. You are expected to do at least 80 you have done. You are saying that 59% is supposed to be achieved. But if you look onto the in page 14, green is very small. It's 43, 33, and 25%. Red at some point has got 75, it has 43, 50, 17. So if the majority of it that you did not meet your output expectation in the infrastructure development. And unfortunately, that is where we are going to be measured by our people who voted us here, whether we are giving meaning. When we were in the plane, we had one MP who was speaking to me in the plane, raising issues at SAVI, DG. There is an area at SAVI called Tabachwe, who is Spanish. If you go up the hill from SAVI, there is a big dam called Sabran Vanigar Dam, just underneath, on top of Orsat. And there's a SAVI river running through that area. But the area in Kavekisa, in that Tabachwe part of the valley, there's no water. But water is going up and down. And I know it might not be us. The municipality does not have capacity to do that. And it's not about capacity because the people who are working there are naive or stupid. No. It is because an engineer who need to help to regulate must be paid a salary equivalent to engineers, and that municipality can't afford. So our intervention, as you did here on the Arctic and all other, is needed there, that you go in there, appoint a water department to go and help to regulate. Top slide, and I heard the president speak also, is now a board into our view. I know it was a little bit heavy. And this issue, just in closing, DG, we knew when we were here with SALGA, unfortunately I am from SALGA, coming here. And I know that there is a place where we differ with SALGA, or when I was in SALGA, I was differing with yourself. Now I'm here, I'm differing with SALGA, that's fine. But SALGA must not be the one that holds you to do work on the basis that this is the job of the municipality. We must work together with them. But for us to be able to change a posture of helping communities, because municipalities say through us, it is tantamount to the one that the chiefs are doing. Yes, consult SALGA, talk to SALGA very hard. But we have a responsibility as national governments that when municipalities can't, we must. Because that authority lies here with the minister. Rather than saying, because we could not convince them. And as I said, why are we not convinced? We cannot be failing to meet with SALGA as his department. All praise of SALGA that was there is here. Our deputy minister was the president of SALGA. And we've got quite a lot of people who are councillors even here who have got the interest of SALGA at heart, but not allowing that SALGA must hold us at so. But it's only when we involve politicians to speak to politicians that we, but it is not voters of SALGA who are refusing. It is technocrats of SALGA who are refusing. Let's talk to them technically. As former councillors, as MPs, MPLs talking to councillors politically. Because at some point, politics must take its course rather than administration. And I can waste your time and talk because I do believe that this department, we have fought for it to not to be spoken so badly as it was supposed to be spoken to, especially as these people sitting here. Because those that were seeing this then are not here. But it is not going to be correct of us that we said we were wrong. Those that we said we should say something Well, I tell you what I say. If nothing said and changed, we would be left with no option but to believe so. We don't want to come to that point. We don't think we are ready to come to that point. But if we are left with no option, we'll have to come to that point. Unfortunately, Chair.
Honorable Ngwezi.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable members, DG and your team. I think that firstly, Chair, you know, we must be assisted as to why do we get documents late. I really think that matter must be addressed. I don't think it's something that we deserve. Without, you know, saying further things, I think that I'm understood. Just that on that matter. And Chair, in a country that has got high unemployment rate, why do we have to give, you know, reasons to stay long with vacant posts? You know, I hear the reason, but to me, the biggest reason that I could understand is that, no, we don't get skills. There is no skill, so we are searching skills, maybe outside the country or whatever. So really, this matter must be addressed. And I thought that maybe when the DG responds and the team, they will, you know, give us confidence that in the next meeting the post would have been filled, at least. I think that that's very important, because to always come and give us a report that, no, we're busy, we're in the process and all that, you know, it has been a song now that I think we've always been listening to. So that matter also must be addressed, Honorable Chair. And, you know, one member was saying that on the issue of drought and all that, you know, we always request communities to pray for rain. But even when rain comes, Honorable Chair, there is a lot of water that gets, you know, lost in the system. And I thought that in the, you know, in the program of water planning and information management, we will perhaps, you know, consider water harvesting, DG. You know, this water that causes even accidents on the road when it is raining, that water can be used after purified if harvested and stored somewhere, because I think that that's very important. So I thought I can make that contribution on this matter. And I know that that was not part of your report, but it's important to put suggestions as you give us reports. And the acting CFO, which I think the acting one also in the future must be addressed, DG. Because I mustn't be seen as if I'm campaigning for someone, but it must be addressed. I know that even when someone is acting, is accountable, but it's good that we have somebody full-time employed to do the job, even if the one who is there is doing the job. But the issue of also the filling of these vacancies must be addressed. He indicated that we are left with about 600 million from now until March. I would like to know whether that amount is going to take us through the end of the financial year, considering the expenses that the department has. And there is this issue that Amakhosi has got issues that is being resolved. I would like to know whether, you know, institutions that deal with traditional leadership has been consulted in trying to intervene, because, you know, when politicians are frustrated, they tend to, you know, want to use this thing of political power, you know, and communist tendencies. When in fact matters can be resolved, because in the whole country, I know that if Amakhosi has been consulted properly, they will never delay development. It has always been the case. So here, have institutions of traditional leadership, for example, there is your Contralefa, has they been, you know, engaged to intervene on matters like that, because I think it's important that they play a role in trying to unlock the challenges that may exist. And I don't know whether I heard correctly that the issue at the Hotetro Dam, or that scheme there, that there is a contractual problem, and there is another now, a contractor that is being considered to complete the work. Isn't that has financial implications? Or else if I can get more clarity, because if the current one that is there has not been sorted out, then I don't think, if there is no agreement to introduce the new contractor, that would have no financial implications. So please assist me if there is no financial implications about that. And there is the issue of in the two accounts of the department, in the main account and the water trading entity. The law is clear about the issue of irregular expenditure, wasteful and all that. I'm not be sure about the section, but I think it's the MFMA. It's clear about what needs to be done, investigations and consequence management. Has the department started with that process, and how far has the department gone about that? And also, what is it that the department is going to do, even if the law allows that if such a thing has happened? Obviously, there is the application of this section of the MFMA that must happen. But I think we must not fold hands in trying to work towards the prevention of this. And if there are plans regarding that, I may not put it in your finance language, but I hope you understand what I'm talking about as finance people. I'm not a finance person myself. And I've got interest, Honorable Chair, when are we getting the annual report? I think that matter really, other than Mashekho's SAA and all that, I think we are part of that, and it's not a pleasing thing. When you meet somebody and say, I'm going to water and sanitation, say, oh, where is the report? You see, so I think if we may be assisted on one, what is the anticipation period of getting the annual report? Uh, Yeah, it's just that, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Seki.
Yeah, today it's like we're almost in a conference. We have taken so long in engaging. Chair, I think Dr. Mashiko and some other colleagues have covered me in some instances. Let's just go to... Okay, maybe just to, as we go to those pages. Issues of performance and expenditure, Chair, they are not tied. Maybe it takes me to page 5 versus page 27. Page 5 is a summary of 9 financial. Page 27 is a summary of financial. Am I correct? Just for guidance. Now, if we look at non-financial, program 1 has achieved 83%. Program 1 on financial has agreed 64%. You can go with them, Chair. Program 3 on non-financial has achieved 29%. On financial it has achieved 59%. And we know Program 3 is the main budget holder. So if non-financial is at that level, it should be worse. So, I think it's quite serious. That's where we need to look at and focus how best we could resolve these matters. If you go to page 6, can I confirm that page 6 is versus with page, is it right to be versus with page 29, water trading account? You can just note if it's the correct, yes. There I see a performance of 67 versus 62. But I could not get this 100%. Where is it? I could not perform it. I could compare it with the next page, if I'm correct. So please clarify that when you answer questions for me to be able to understand. Chair, I think many colleagues have raised certain reasons which we have started DG to regard them as unreasonable. They are reasons to you, but now we are developing a scheme that says these are unreasonable reasons. When we started the issue of filling of the post, we understood, because you are still shaping up the department. We are now in February. We are approaching a year, colleagues. And I don't think you want us to understand that reason or to hear it. There's one that says there's a delay of procurement. Well, from one time to time there will be delay of procurement. But I gotta say it continues. There's another one that says what the minister is doing. Minister approved the submission. Approved the submission, so it's still in the process. Until when, we don't know. So, please note this narrative, colleagues, that they are coming to a point where, as a committee, we feel that you are doing a disservice to yourself, not to the committee, to yourself, because you are the ones that deliver these services, not us. Our ask is to make sure that we assist you to be accountable, to do the right thing, to spend according to what you have budgeted for. But I think they go astray now, DG. Please assist us to come back, bring them back. Chair, we are still having we had workshops in Tswane, but I think those workshops, I'll be guided by you, maybe in another meeting, in another corner, I must not confuse. But I still feel that there are some areas where us and yourselves are not gelling well in understanding these things. But I'll be guided by the chair, of course. There's an issue of bucket system. Our minister was very excited about 6 months. When we report, please indicate that this matter was supposed to have been finished on the 31st of December 2019. You are standing, according to your report, by that time when you were reporting, is 2,600 and some odds, according to what you are reporting. Well, it's nice sometimes to say, at that time in December it was 2,600, but today we can tell the committee we are at 500. At least you have put the committee at ease to say you have moved. But I'm not sure whether you have moved between now and then when you were putting these committees. Even the provinces, Chair, the droughts, in the media, the department is slashed with a lot of media negligence, I would call it. Where you are not intervening, we should go to the... But here's money that has been allocated to the provinces, regions. Why is this money not spent? Please tell us. You have given the money to people. They are not spending it. But on the other side, you will see farmers crying out there. And immediately when I see a farmer crying, because I'm in this committee, I think twice. When I see a surrogate running because I'm in this committee, I become edgy to say, what can we do here? So please talk to us on those issues. Generally, Chair, as much as I should have made this comment earlier, I was talking about water trading. I see their performance being much better than the department or the main account. When you answer that one of page 6 and page 29, maybe you can also talk to that. There's an area where Northwest has spent 0%. Sorry, I'm not laughing, I'm crying actually. If you look at Program 1, Chair, I normally call Program 1 easy to spend, but still, it's not spent. You know, if you could deal with Program 1, in my view, you'd have dealt with what we call capacity to spend, because that's where you are, that's where people are. So deal with it, let it spend at least 100% or more than 90%. It will reflect a change that you are moving somewhere. You can still go for it, Chair.
Honorable Sky. Thank you, Chairperson. My apology for going out. I'm faced with the multitask of a mother and a woman today. Chairperson. I know that Honorable Seke has raised the issue of our oversight. When I came back from the oversight, I felt the pain that what would make the people of South Africa think good about us as Parliament? What would make them to think good about us?
issues that we were confronted with in this oversight were not different from what confronted us last year. We were faced the whole week poor smell. I don't want to use the words that we're using, that we were data doing. There are promises that have been made. They are not implemented. We were taken on hostage. Was it Sebokeng? Where there's a promise of 300 people to be employed, there is nothing. There's an MOU that is within the department. It's not coming back for it to be finalized. Some of the issues we cannot respond because we don't know. And there you're dealing with the people, very poor people that need work. There was not even mask, and it is known that where we're going to, it has got a terrible smell. Sludge that we're moving around, no well-prepared processes for us, as if it's saying, if any get into school, it's a crisis, Chairperson. It's a crisis. Abantu basekiyane ubajongile nje ngabantu abangahoyanga uhulumente. But billions have gone to that project. No water at all, at all. Abantu basekiyane bakhuke kiriva, kabuhlungu, as if it was before 1994. I felt the pain for abantu. Ubajongile nje, they have no government. Billions have gone there, a contractor has left the site, but a condo SDGAT. This is what we are doing. We were promised about a forensic audit last year when we came, because it did come. We were cooking like a year. Siboninge, the mecho way to. Ilusizi kakhulu. For me, it's not about us who needs to be given a siboninge wezinke. It's about the people. I've seen a very, very bad scene always being when going to that oversight. I just wanted to start with that. It's important that we are given a report. You see, one of the issues, Chair Landiti, your role in the province, your role in the Maspal, I didn't take it lightly. I'm the owner of the house. If my child is not cleaning my house, their roller, this is my house, and this is my money. Because our father abandoned Manu Kazba, the province, in Don. You can't abdicate your responsibility. You send billions there, and therefore, Ipimalia. It's important that the department, if it's the powers and the responsibility of the legislation that is a problem, let's deal with that. Otherwise, let the department, we need also to get to know SDG. What is happening in Goa? Is in the best to talk to the minister, no premier, do I now serve about this department? Zindo only promises that the department has made is unable to meet them. Why are we? Department. And in my little Nansika Chairperson. But upon this account and this ability, when we came here last year, we raised an issue of a possible monitoring and evaluation unit. The department said, no, we have no problem. We have no problem with that. We do have it. It's a tool. But as you move now with the department, because we understand the monitoring, the function, the manager, the management, but on the absence of that, you need to, have to create a unit. What you call a Yakub. Where is it now? Because even if you sent billions and millions to Maspala, you need to have your own analysis
ojongangayo uba are they performing, so that ungaboni when they have not performed. Move with them. So that is not there. And it's a worrying factor to us, but I don't know if I like the man. It's a very contentious issue. I can tell you no ba so thing I don't in a, it's a very, very contentious issue. Chair, there's a page 9. It says the non-transfer of the amount of 32 million to Amatole Water. That's the end of October 2019. Why imali ngayanga? In the same time, Imatole is not performing. Imali ngayanga and it's not performing. So we need to know what is the problem. There's a Musa, which is a voluntary process. What is Musa? Kondogaland is Musa. A voluntary process. To yiga into the voluntary because as nyanzeleganga zienzel into the funega zienzel. Perhaps we need to get a clarity on that. There's a presentation of the policy and strategy. I wonder if the strategy is working with the plan that has been established by the minister. Because if the strategy is not talking to the plan, who's about a problem? What corners we which challenges that are confronting us? It's good that there's a consultation process called by SALCA, but let's make sure that we are tight in dealing with the issues. I hear that in Zimbabwe, we access roads. When we came here, the matter was raised. We were asking a question, why in Zimbabwe in the progress? It was said, it was an error that Kalwengu went to Winkel as a Zimbabwe. It was said here last year when we arrived. Kutongu said, Kalwengu Winkel. Like you and in Edgam. What makes the access road to be important than creating a dam? It's a problem because it was said, it started with the access road creation, that's where a lot of money went to, that's why the Zimbabwe is not progressing. Again, the access road is on the map. The same Zimbabwe. What does that mean? My last one, Chairperson. The page 27 says there's a payment for capital assets, which is the responsibility of implementing agents. Expenditure from 31%. Can somebody assist us? Is he implementing agent? Where is the problem of not implementing the program and perform financially? Pay 31%. So because effectivity also undermines the performance of the department. So it's important that we identify those that are not performing and then put a pressure for them to perform. There's something that I didn't understand when the presenter was saying the economic classification, which is page 29, that the money for the compensation of employees has to be recovered from the project, and we could not get that. What is that? What is that? That's page 29. The money to be covered from the project for economic classification. I did not understand what does that mean. The last one, Chair, is the reasons for withholding of the allocation, that's page 48. We need a narrative so that we understand a possible plan to intervene on the matter. Because I think it's good to be told about the problem. Last year, XCDG, you presented a very good program, Ocean Cleanup. You presented a very, you were on top of things, I don't want to lie, here, on how we are going to deal with non-performance and all other issues, and the issues of corruption, and the processes for consequence management, and all those issues. Ngokusangathi sisafika, kube sifika, kusichazwe ingxaki ze department. We need to get to report your progress of what you presented, because that day we left very, very happy about the program. And it's important that you tell us that perhaps you are getting resistant to make things happen. And we need to know which programs are resisting the program Yabantu. This program is not ours, Yabantu. Where are the bottlenecks? Because in that program, you made a very clear implementation plan how to intervene on different issues. So now, as it is now, that is beginning. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. You know, you have took 1 hour, 30 minutes, started around 11 to now 20 past 12. And precisely because DG, it's like we are running two departments. You came here, maybe it's how you have reported, particularly on program one, you know. Program one has shattered the entire presentation, because in program one, that's where you said, maybe starting from the basis that we have appropriated your budget and you understood the problem that we have, and you came to us and said, this is what I'm going to do, put a turnaround strategy to deal with the challenges of the department. And you expected the program one to take members through that process, that we have come, this is what we have done, this is where we are, and this is where we'll be in towards the financial year in your third quarter. Just to say, if you don't ship up this department, DG, you will sink with it. Because you can't have people who want to project themselves that they are normal when they are not normal. We have agreed when we pass your budget that you are not normal. You will then have to double your efforts to deal with abnormality of the department and be able to bring back the department into order and bring in the culture of professionalism in your system. But you know, the program one, which was supposed to be presenting to us and giving us a vision that where they wanted to go and this is how they're handling. It just summarized into, that's why maybe Honorable Augustus just say, I don't see how to want to ask a question. Because program one actually has shattered the entire program, because we expected a lot of it to tell us in turnaround of the department, this is what they were going to do. And for me, when we arrived in ADA, already my mind is blocked. It says, but what is it that we're dealing with? And DG, we want to employ on you with the, and the minister that we understand your problem as we take over the department. But our patience is diminished, particularly because you have presented a better turnaround strategy and we applauded you and the minister. But the report does not talk about what you have told us you're going to do. So, and what is the expectation from members? What are you expecting members to say? Like program one is just reported as a normal. There's normal, normal department, nothing problem. And we expected to get the feedback in terms of all those things that members have raised. That's why I've been trying to push to say, can you give the reason why you have not performed the 100%, thinking that we'll go to that element and say, this is, we came here and say we presented the turnaround strategy, these are the issues, and this is how far we are. So it's like, then we must call a meeting to come and give the progress on the strategy. It means that we are dealing with the two departments. It's no longer one department. Which, DG, in the fourth quarter, we should actually try to improve, particularly on program one. At least the program on finance, it has improved. It has actually give us the details. And but what lacks there is that we said there is a lot of, you've presented a lot of grants, a lot of transfers, and in the process it's giving even ourselves members confusion. And say, let's work around towards how do you match and consolidate your grants. So which we must get the feedback in terms of how you are going to match and rework. And in one program, you are indicating that you are amalgamating some of your catchment management agencies, which is a good sign of progress. But with administration, what you have presented, really, it's more than a disaster. I don't have another word to raise. I think the other issue on upholding of money for municipalities, which is a correct thing to do. But we remember DG was been interacting with this matter and saying, even with houses, we're saying that is it good? It's good in terms of administration, but in terms of our people losing, not getting services, it's not benefiting our people. It's good for administration. And we're saying that at some point we have to look at the law. As Mom's Kaya has put it in the form of, if I have a house, somebody's not cleaning it, I myself clean it and tell people how I want my house to look like. So I think that's something that we would have to look at DG, both in municipalities and in your boards and everywhere where you delegate functions. There must be a way where the functions is not performed, you take over and implement and correct the situation before it can affect communities. You know, Honorable Mokoto talks about the people of Skukuna suffering, and they have very two big dams in Skukuna. Only three, because the one that is going to service even Mpumalanga. Like Mishielu Nandoni Dam and what is that one? Loskop Dam. Very big dam. But the people of Skukuna, they are struggling to get water. And the first meeting that I've met with your department, I've asked, there were pipes lying there for recirculation. What were those pipes for? Now they've been removed. no answer. So which is something that we know that in construction there are defaults where you get somebody with capacity and in the paper and you discovered later that there's no capacity, you cancel the contract and you restart again and all those things. But in that environment, such situation like your implementing agencies, Kukune District, and then if they have to do that, they just what then why department is not actually assisting in taking over and assisting in making sure that there's capacity? Because one of the grey areas that we have identified is that the support that you give it to municipalities, it's not aligned with the one that is COCTA is giving to municipalities, which in the process is delaying the program implementation of projects and programs, which you have actually at some point saying that you have revived the interministerial task team, which will look even into the issue of municipality owing the boards, refunding, and all those things. So, but what is important is what Honorable Sophia said. In an environment that people, they don't perform the function given, we have to dilly-dally and wait for Section 39 when we have an act that says take the power, implement, and the Section 39 will follow. People would not would have not suffered without getting water. The last one, which was appropriate, which Honorable Ngozi has raised, is we should be getting update on why the annual plan, the annual report is not being tabled even yet, so that you give members, you keep members abreast of the progress. It will be very helpful, and I'll therefore request you to start with that because it's very much important. And maybe at some point we'll have a meeting where we're going to engage on drought with COCTA, we'll have COCTA in agriculture. We should actually even include the capacities of those municipalities because some of the areas, they are not being declared because municipality does not even have capacity to declare a disaster in terms of what is required about the law. So in such environment, the national department must do to assist those municipalities. I think it's something that we'll look at when we're going to deal with the drought. And the Honorable Seki put it very nicely, Seki this time, on the consequence management. He likes it. And when you don't talk about it, it doesn't become happy. So I wanted to highlight these issues, DG, to indicate to you that members are very, they are disappointed, sort of. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond, DG, with your team. DG?
Thank you, Chair. The team is going to assist in responding to specific questions. But let me start with the annual report, because that's very important. Not to say that other questions are not important. We'll address all of them. Chair, the TCTA annual report was concluded in January. The The water trading entity annual report was concluded 2 weeks ago. Friday, last week? Yes, we only concluded the water trading entity account on Friday, the 21st. Now I'm giving these dates because the two talk to each other. Remember, all of these processes should have been concluded in August last year. Then AG requested a number of information from TCTA, and some of the information was with the Lesotho Highlands company in Lesotho. Because that information was not forthcoming, AG threatened what one would call the limitation of scope, because if you don't get the information, then you get the limitation of scope, which would result to a disclaimer of some sort. Now, TCTA is an important entity amongst all of the entities that we are managing as a department, because we use them as a special purpose vehicle to raise funding from the capital markets. So our biggest worry was, if this entity gets a disclaimer, we are going to be in trouble, in serious trouble. So they've finalized the annual report, and I think it's likely to be tabled any time from now, including the water trading entity account. Remember, I always say the relationship between the separation between the WTE, the water trading entity account, and TCTA is artificial, because the two affect each other. It is the sale of water and the revenue that we generated that assist us to be able to go out to the market and raise revenue through the special purpose vehicle. So the delay with TCTA also resulted in the delay of WTE. We're done now. We concluded that both of them will be tabled. In fact, we've been extremely under pressure from the JSE because TCTA is listed there, that if we miss the deadline, and think today, in fact, we're pushing that at least the TCTA one must go forward, because it's done. It's not going to be changed. So we can table TCTA today. That was the arrangement that Minister wanted us to do. I still have to follow up with my colleague, Francois Iho. Whether we can table TCTA today or any other day this week so that we can meet the JSE requirement. The WTE, I think they're busy with the printing right now, because nothing more is going to change. We finalize that process, and I think the table is likely to happen this week or next week. The process is concluded. It's been a painful exercise, I must say, Chair, which has given us a lot of lessons, which we will bring them here to you, because I think it talks to the restructuring of the department. I still put it forward to my colleagues that as long as we continue with this duality of accounting in the department, we're not going to go far in terms of sorting out some of the things that we want to do. For instance, if TCTA has a problem, that problem has a bearing on the WTE, but TCTA is a separate entity altogether. It has a board and it's audited separately, but it has a bearing on the finances of the water trading entity account. And now all what we need to do is to think hard about the institutional arrangement for managing the water trading entity account. Do we have to continue with the two accounts, the main account and the water trading entity account? There are two departments at national level that have, the last time I checked, that have two accounts. It is water and sanitation and public works. Public works is far much better because they have the complete control of both accounts. In our case, the other account is influenced by what is happening at TCTA. Vice versa, TCTA is also worried that what is happening on their side is influenced by WTE. So there are institutional issues that we have to deal with. And my recommendation, and I've discussed this with the Minister, is that we need to overhaul the institutional arrangement. Otherwise, the current arrangement is very archaic and it's going to continue to affect us. She has given us five months to solve that problem. Minister has given us 5 months to come back to her with a credible proposal on how to deal with that matter. To answer your question directly, the annual report is completed. It is done. is ready for tabling. The rule is that once the AG has finalized and signed off, it needs to be tabled within 30 days. And we will be able to do that within 30 days. Chair, consequence management, perhaps we're not coming frequently to you to report about what we are doing. As we speak, there are two DDGs that have been charged, and one DDG who has been found guilty as we speak, and the process has run its course. The other process, which affects the other DDG, is going to take a little bit of time. In fact, some of the projects that we talked about here, where you have irregular expenditure, where you have supply chain processes that didn't go well, affect one of those DDGs. I won't mention the name here because the process is still underway. If you talk about Kwadetro, for instance, there's an investigation on Kwadetro by SIU. There's an investigation by the forensic unit of the department, the forensic component of the department under internal audit. That's consequence management. We can show you which senior managers are affected. We did present it to you, I think it was in the last quarter. You did ask us to talk about consequence management. We presented a pie chart which shows how many cases where we have concluded investigations, how many cases where people have been charged, and how many cases where we are still busy with investigations, and how many officials are affected by those investigations. So consequence management, remember, Treasury is not going to condone any of that amount. That brings the question of condonation. Mm-hmm. Condonation means that what has happened, for instance, your irregular expenditure, for it to be regularized, you have to run the full consequence management process. Otherwise, there will be no regularization. There will be no condonation. The word condonation means you are regularizing what has been irregular. That process is legislated. It's clear in the PFMA. It's clear in Treasury regulations. So all what we are busy with is to run that process so that we can reduce the value of that irregular expenditure. Because if the regular expenditure is more than 9 billion rands, nobody's going to take you serious. So we're running that process back and forth with Treasury, because Treasury says, okay, the irregularity must be linked to the person involved. Otherwise, there will be no condemnation. That's how it works. So you have to go after the person who caused the irregularity for it to be condoned or for it to be regularized. And that process is underway. We have received about 5 material irregularity letters from the AG this year. Remember, the AG is piloting the new Public Audit Act with us, with COCTA and other departments. They've written 5 materiality irregularity letters to us, and we responded. And it talks to that figure, the 9 billion rands figure of irregular expenditure. I don't want to say the problems that we're faced with are insurmountable. The challenges, they're huge, and we don't want to be in denial that there are no problems. And by the way, as you contextualize this problem and you visit all of these places, I'll give you one example, Mfuleni. One good example. Why are we in Mfuleni as the department? Because Mfuleni municipality has failed. That network infrastructure that you visited there was meant to be managed by the municipality, but because they failed, we can't in. We have to get in. We went to Treasury. Treasury has approved an amount of about 700 million. So we are bailing out a municipality that has failed over years. Mfuleni municipality has been under Section 139 for a very long time. Go and check it, go and check. We didn't give them the money. The money is with us. The only money that they are getting is money from DECO. Sorry, not from DECO, from COCTA. COCTA has dispersed the MIG. In fact, it was reported to us last week that they have struggled to spend even 10% of that 99 million that COCTA has dispersed to them. And again, it has to be noted that the responsibility to support municipalities is COCTA's primary mandate. It's not the department's primary mandate. It is our secondary mandate, which we are now activating at the expense of our primary mandate. Because remember, all this shifting the money from RB to prioritize drought, we're taking money that is meant for our primary mandate to prioritize the secondary mandate. That's what we are doing. But when people don't have water, we are not going to fold arms and say this is not our responsibility. it is somebody else's responsibility. I think it would be reckless of us to say, well, this is COCTA, we must be supporting municipalities, or the municipalities must do this on their own. I think we've taken that conscious decision to get into the spaces where there are challenges. In Butterworth, Chair, I could easily say that if there's one person or there's one department that is standing in Butterworth, maybe that's why we get criticized, it is this department. We didn't go on holiday in December, I was in Butterworth. I visited Butterworth 4 times. Those people that you're talking about, I met them 3 times. And there's one issue that they have raised. It is the issue of the dredging of the dam. I went there, the dredging of the silting of the dam. Remember, the Kuwa Dam right now is at 100% full. It is full right now as we speak because it's been raining consistently in the Eastern Cape, especially in that part of the Eastern Cape. Now, what we said to them in December, when I met them in December, that dam was empty, completely empty. It was dry. I said to them, we have a dilemma here. We want to dredge this dam. We want to desilt the dam, you know, to get rid of the sand and the silt there. But the reality is that we are in the middle of summer. The moment we start desilting the dam and then it rains, that entire amount, remember it was going to cost us 155 million rand to desilt the dam. We did some preliminary investigation. So we had to make a call. Do we want to spend 155 million rand desilting the dam, or do we want to spend 135 million rand looking for water? Because there was no water in Butterworth. You have to make that trade-off. And the intention, we communicated it to them and they agreed. We said we will do the desilting. Remember, for you to do the desilting, you also have to start your EIA processes. We've already written to the Department of Environmental Affairs to give us maybe exemptions or to allow us to be able to get going with the process of desilting the dam. But the reality is that the dam is full now. Can we do the desilting and the dredging when the dam is 100% full and people want water at this stage? There is a long-term solution in Butterworth, which all of us have agreed. Even the colleagues, the people who were complaining about the minister, have agreed. And that solution is about finalizing the 700 million rand pipeline from Somo to Ngamata, which will make it possible to divert water to Qilinga Dam. That's the project that we are busy with. The construction unit of the department has already started with all the planning to deal with the problem of Butterworth. Because if you don't fix the pipeline in Butterworth, we are going to come back here next year with the same problem. So we have started fixing that problem in Butterworth. In the Northern Cape, Honorable Mashego, we're talking about the western part of the Northern Cape. You can see, if you look at the map of the Disaster Management Center, the National Disaster Management Center will show you which part of the Northern Cape is the hardest hit. Those farmers that you're talking about, that we're crying, those farmers are from the western part of the Northern Cape, not Kimberley and the surrounding, not Francisburg. It is the Namakwa, Yokamisberg. It's been dry for a very long time. You can see that in most cases, some of the farmers have lost their livestock. In fact, the reason why we pushed the province to declare the drought is because it was going to be difficult for the farmers to claim the insurance without declaring a disaster. So the Premier declared the disaster. In fact, the Premier and the Minister met and they declared a disaster in the Northern Cape so that you are able to assist the farmers to claim for the insurance, because they can't claim for the insurance if the disaster is not declared. And that's what we did in January. When you were there in January, we were also there meeting with the Premier the first 2 weeks of January. So we're giving Northern Cape, we have given them 300 million rand. They have a credible plan of what needs to be done. Unfortunately, they won't be able to spend that money before the end of the financial year, but we have costed what needs to be done as a drought intervention in the Northern Cape. So is the Free State. The hardest hit part in the Free State is Maluti Upper Foam. We've started in Maluti Upper Foam. We purchased the trucks, the water trucks, and again, let's agree, municipal water cutting is
with the organization.